Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Tuesday, December the 10th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's emerged a convicted paedophile was left dead in his cell at a Kent prison for almost 12 hours. Clive Manning was jailed in January 2019 after his victim reported his crimes 30 years after he carried them out. The 59-year-old died at HMP Swaleside on Sheppey on New Year's Eve after suffering from cancer. And reports revealed he passed away at 7:30 in the morning, but the death wasn't certified until 5 p.m. as paramedics were attending another incident. Police looking for a 51-year-old woman missing from Sheppey have found a body. The discovery was made at around 10 last night when emergency crews, including the Coast Guard, were called to the Queenborough Harbour area. The family of Karen Gill have been told the death is not being treated as suspicious. Now, next today, the UK has signed a joint action plan with Germany aimed at stopping people smuggling gangs and dangerous small boat crossings to Kent. Berlin's pledged to tighten its laws to make it easier to prosecute those facilitating illegal crossings to Britain. Let's hear from Home Secretary Yvette Cooper.
We know that the organised criminal gangs who organise dangerous small boats across the Channel that undermine our border security, that put lives at risk, are also the same gangs that are operating in Germany, that are operating right across Europe and beyond. And we know too that where the gangs operate across borders, law enforcement needs to operate across borders as well. And that is why this joint action plan is so important. This is groundbreaking work in order to allow us to share intelligence, to better share information, to be able to strengthen our action, strengthen law enforcement and powers to be able to go after the criminal gangs and their supply chains and their illicit finance as well. So I'm hugely grateful to the work across between our governments and between our law enforcement. Already, the closer working between our countries has led to an immensely important operation last week in Germany and in France, but supported by the UK National Crime Agency, that went after the criminal gangs, made a series of arrests and included identifying boats and engines as well that would have been destined for the Channel as part of that operation. It is evidence of the impact that joint working can do, but we want to go very much further, including all along the supply chains, all along the organised criminal networks, and including the cooperation on some of the Iraqi Kurdish gang networks that I have spoken about in the past as well. So thank you to Minister Fraser for this cooperation, and it will be that principle we know that to go after the criminal gangs, to smash the gang networks, we need that cooperation across borders as well.
More than 20,000 people are known to have made the journey across the Channel to Kent since Labour came to power in July.
Kent Online News.
One of Kent's water companies has reported a 40% increase in pollution incidents in the first half of this year. Its debts also continue to spiral. Here's Kate with more details.
Thames Water reported over 350 Category 1 sewage spills in the 6 months to the end of September. It's blaming the wet weather in spring and summer. This comes as the company, which has customers in Kent, battles more than £15 billion of debt. It's already had to secure over £3 billion just to keep operating beyond July next year. However, the chief executive, Chris Weston, says the company has made solid progress on its attempted turnaround.
There's been an increase in the number of reports of pet neglect in Kent. RSPCA figures out today show there were nearly 1,500 cases from January to September this year. That's the fifth highest number in the country. Nationally, there's been a 25% increase. We can hear now from Jo Hurst, who's from the charity.
I think the driver behind that has been a number of things. Firstly, COVID didn't help. People were staying at home more. They had time in their minds for pets. And so we saw a massive increase in the number of dogs and cats being purchased and rehomed. And then obviously when we were out of lockdown, people had to go back to work and they realised they no longer had time for those animals. That in conjunction with we're leading up to Christmas, people are buying presents, having to buy more food, energy bills are increasing, you know, the cost of living has increased quite dramatically. And people's pets are suffering as a result of that because they're not at, people aren't at home as much. They're having to spend their money more wisely. Vets bills are increasing. So yeah, unfortunately, the animals are coming off quite badly in all of it.
Staying with animal news, and a woman's been told her dog must wear a muzzle and be kept on a lead outside following an attack in Thanet. The Stafford Cross is thought to have escaped from a garden in the Cliftonville part of town before going for a labradoodle on a walk. The owner and nearby builders managed to save the pet's life. Police say they've spoken to a woman in her 60s. And hundreds of pounds has been raised for a Maidstone woman who was scammed out of her Christmas savings when her cat got stuck up a tree. Nicola Garrett called a tree surgeon when Winter got stuck 75 feet up. Despite not getting the rag doll cat down, they charged her £200 for their time. The pair were later reunited thanks to the Kent Wildlife Rescue Service, who organised a fundraiser to give Nicola her money back.
Kent Online reports.
Now, there are calls for more to be done to revive Ramsgate Town Centre, as figures show one in four shops there are empty. MP Polly Billington has been meeting with an action group set up to tackle the problem and has backed new powers enabling the council to bring sites back into use. She's called for an end to the so-called blight of boarded up shops. Well, our reporter Max Chesson has been to the town to investigate this issue and joins me on the podcast now. So Max, what's it really like in Ramsgate?
Yeah, I mean, it really is a problem. Every other shop seems to be empty. You know, the figures do show one in four shops are empty. That is 100% true. I went on a Friday, which is the market day. That helps, you know, paper over some of the cracks. But the reality is there are a lot of vacancies in Ramsgate and it is bringing the rest of the area down.
And why are so many shops closed?
The reason so many shops are closed, you know, you've got the pandemic, the aftermath of that. You know, people struggling to get business off the ground. National retailers have struggled. I mean, Wilko's a really big one that fell out of Ramsgate. But you've also got small businesses. Book Bodega, they came in, were very much loved, and still it wasn't enough. There just wasn't the interest. Online retailers have massively impacted this part of the area. And there is also a lot of deprivation. I mean, the area in Ramsgate Town Centre, the surrounding it, is in the 20% most deprived neighbourhoods in the whole of England and Wales. So there are lots of factors negatively impacting the area.
Can you tell me a bit more about the action group then and what they want to do?
The action group essentially want to coordinate between businesses, residents, politicians, essentially be a hub in which all communication and plans can go through. It seems to be something that is needed. There needs to be someone at the head of things, driving everyone in the same direction. And, you know, you have to hope that what they're doing will be successful.
As I mentioned at the start, Max, the local MP's got involved and was in the town at the weekend, wasn't she?
Yep, Polly Billington is very much involved. You know, she was out there to support small businesses and, you know, one of her key things is to support the high street rental auctions plans, which could see towns such as Ramsgate really benefit from the council taking over long abandoned buildings, renting them back out to small businesses. And that was something that was spoken about by the action group. It gives a low-risk platform and environment for those businesses to thrive. And Polly Billington is one of the key voices leading those efforts.
Max, thank you ever so much. And you can read that report in full today by heading to Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
Social care providers in Kent say they're on the brink of collapse following measures announced in the autumn budget. It's been described as a triple whammy, with an increase in national insurance contribution, plus a lowering of the threshold, as well as a hike in minimum wage. Well, it means bosses at the Kent Autistic Trust will need to find an extra £230,000 a year. Christine Edwards-Dame is from the Kent Autistic Trust and she's been speaking to Gabriel Morris from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
This came as an absolute bolt out of the blue. We expected, obviously, the national minimum wage to be increasing in line with previous years or just along those lines. We knew and suspected the increase of national insurance because that was mentioned just before the budget. But this third blow was enormous, and nothing on the scale has ever, ever happened before. So when you look at that impact, most of the charity leaders I have contact with and my fellow providers, you know, colleagues in the sector, just absolutely were flabbergasted. And it's quite incredulous that we had basically such a tax hike, because that is, unprecedented and unaffordable.
I mean, tell us, I mean, how is this budget going to impact the Kent Autistic Trust?
Well, just for us, it means that we have a £230,000 bill that we never had before and never had to find before. And for other charities, that is absolutely similar. When you look at providers in the sector, just general care providers. So if you look at Cordis Bright's calculations, this is around 11%. And when I spoke to local authorities, both in Kent and Medway, they were not disagreeing with that. So you're looking at around 11% increase that needs to be found, when really on average the increases for fees have been around the 3-4%. So that is a giant gap that needs to be found, just when local authorities are struggling themselves. And the £600 million that's been promised by the local authority in order to mitigate this big impact, it's just not going to touch the sides. It's not going to be nowhere near what we need and what the sector needs, especially as, and I think it's widely documented, this sector needed investment. And what we see is the opposite. It's actually not been regarded as an essential partner with the NHS, which it should be, absolutely should be, because the NHS exists and is able to function because of us. And in fact, the NHS is failing because of poor investment in the care sector. So therefore, that should have been priority. So again, we are quite taken aback what people were thinking, that this would be the right way forward to actually raid providers who themselves need investment at the moment.
What impact do you think this is going to have on the care sector if the budget stays on its current track?
Oh, absolutely. We must either reverse, change, or address, or have a recognition that this decision had unintended consequences, because the consequences is the collapse of the sector. And what would happen then? I'd rather not think about that, to be honest, because you can't imagine a society and a community without being able to support the most vulnerable. It's just unimaginable. But that is an absolute, it's a certainty. If nothing changes, that is a certainty.
Now, if you live in Hythe, you're being asked what you think should happen to the Prince's Parade site. The land stretching from Seabrook to the golf course had previously been earmarked for a swimming pool, leisure facilities and housing. That was rejected when the new council took over last year. They now want to know what you'd like to see instead. Bosses in Medway say there are no plans to rearrange the Dickensian Christmas festival in Rochester that had to be cancelled over the weekend because of Storm Dara. They've confirmed there won't be any parades or carol concerts this coming weekend. However, the final 3 days of the Christmas market will take place in the Castle Gardens from Friday, and the council are due to make more announcements today. So do head to Kent Online to see details.
Kent Online News.
Figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show a significant discrepancy in the number of e-scooters being seized in different parts of Kent. 400 of the vehicles have been confiscated by police in the county since the start of January 2022. Maidstone has seen the highest number of seizures with 95, while just one has been removed from the streets in Sevenoaks. Kate's been speaking to Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott.
The numbers that we're seeing sort of match with the areas where I'm receiving the most complaints. I constantly get complaints from residents in Medway and in Maidstone in particular about e-scooters. And I know that district commanders locally have taken a decision to be really proactive in how they deal with them. But also, I think some of this will reflect the fact that in places like Canterbury, where they've done a lot of work on education and prevention, particularly with students and others, you'll see a reflection that fewer people have started to use them. Now, I know that everyone's experience of seeing them will be different. I live in Sevenoaks, for example, which is bottom of the league table, as it were. But from my experiences of living in Swanley and shopping in Sevenoaks, you don't tend to see as many as you do elsewhere. So I'd encourage people, if they're seeing them, to report them using particularly the antisocial behaviour form on the Kent Police website. That way we can track where people are seeing them and ask local resources to deal with them.
So there would be sort of a concentrated effort by police to target those areas where we know more sightings are being made.
Absolutely. And that's what we've seen, particularly with Maidstone, Medway and Canterbury. And I've been out with officers on their campaigns in those areas to target e-scooters particularly, because they are a hazard. They do cause concerns legitimately for pedestrians and other road users. And they're not legal. And that's the key message I would want to reiterate to people thinking of buying one at Christmas. The police will seize them because they are not legal on Kent's roads or pavements. So please don't buy one.
I think there can sometimes be a little bit of confusion. Obviously, we know that they're illegal to ride on public footpaths and pathways. Where are they acceptable to be ridden?
On Kent's public roads and footpaths and pavements, you can't use them at all. It's against the law. You can use them on private land with the owner's permission. But I think the simplest message in all of this is, and it's the one we should have had from the beginning, is just don't buy one. That way we can end the confusion. They tried a hire scheme, which didn't work, and I think added to the problem. So I think the message just should be really simple. Save your money, don't buy one.
It's been revealed plans for 140 homes near Ashford have led to almost 1,200 objections. Developers want to build on 35 acres of land on the edge of Ham Street, leading to fears it'll overdevelop the village. MP Katie Lamb is among those against the scheme. A decision's expected in the new year. And you might have to pay a bit more to park in Maidstone in future. Charges look set to go up by an average of 15%. The first increase in the county town for 5 years. If approved at the next budget, it'll boost the council's income from parking by about £500,000 to almost £4 million a year.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket, and Kent have named Adam Holyoake as the new head coach of the men's team. The former Surrey captain and England player has signed a contract until the end of the 2027 season. The 53-year-old says he's honoured to be appointed and it was an opportunity he couldn't turn down. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now that gives you access to content with fewer adverts and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.